Good morning, everyone. I'm so sorry I cannot be with you today in person. As many of you know, I'm recuperating from surgery on my feet. Actually, knowing I would miss a Sunday in the pulpit, I had planned this the week before Palm Sunday. So imagine my surprise when this past Tuesday I went to the doctor and, thinking I was having my stitches out, was told that he was actually changing the dressings and I would be in my stitches for another week. My feet would have to be propped up for a couple more weeks and in my reparative shoes. Nonetheless, all that is to say I'll definitely be back with you next week. I wish I could be with you today, but I am with you in spirit, even if I'm not with you in person. Of course, today's Easter Sunday. What a wonderful day we're celebrating. And I just want to take just a couple of moments in our service today and share a thought with you. You ever heard the phrase, rise and shine? I'm sure you have. It's a popular phrase in our culture. Maybe it makes you think of a certain local restaurant's famous biscuits they get up and cook every morning. Or maybe if you're a little older like me, it makes you think of a song we used to sing when we were children, Rise and Shine and Give God the Glory, Glory, Children of the Lord. But let me suggest another application for rise and shine. A good application for that phrase is Easter Sunday. Rise and shine is a good application for Easter Sunday. For if Easter is about anything, surely it's about rising and shining. Some 700 years before Jesus Christ ever came into this world, the prophet Isaiah foresaw his birth, and we celebrate that every Christmas, and we read from Isaiah 7, 8, and 9. Of course, later in chapters 52 and 53 of his prophecy, Isaiah also foresaw his vicarious death on the cross for mine and your sins. But then later in chapter 60, in a less well-known passage, Isaiah also foresaw what would happen after our Lord and Savior died on that cross, was put in that grave. Can I just read this verse to you today from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1? Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, if you're looking for the message of Easter today, let me tell you, that's it. Rise and shine. You'll find it in this one little verse. How so is that? Well, first of all, rise and shine applies above all else to what happened to Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday morning. After all, is this not what Easter's all about? That's why he came to begin with, to defeat sin, to defeat death, and thereby to defeat hell. Yes, he did those things on Good Friday when he died on that cross. And he told his disciples that that's what he was going to do. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that. And we saw how he told his disciples they had to go to Jerusalem because he was going to die on a cross and suffer many things. But then he also said a very important thing. He said, and on the third day, rise again. As a matter of fact, during Holy Week, when Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem, if you'll remember, the first thing he did was cleanse the temple. And then he was challenged by the authorities, by whose authority he did that. And he said, if you destroy this temple, talking about his own body, he said, I'll raise it up again in 3 days. So Jesus came in order that he might die, but he died in order that he might rise again. And we rejoice in that. You ever got a song stuck in your head? Just a song that you can't seem to get out. It's great to have it there to begin with, but after a while, maybe it sort of you wish it'd go away. Well, this past week, I've got a confession to make. My little grandson came to see me. We're all excited, as many of you know, about my daughter, Andrea, and her husband, Billy, moving back to East Tennessee, and they were here looking at houses, and so little Will came to stay with us for the day, and of course, Miss Vicky, wanting to entertain him, put in a DVD of sing-alongs, and all I heard all day long was Old MacDonald at Farm. You know how that goes, don't you, with an oink-oink here and an oink-oink there and here an oink, there an oink, and everywhere an oink-oink? Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Man, I wanted to pull my hair out. Now, I got a confession. I was glad for my little grandson to go as well as to come because the DVD stopped playing on the television. But because that song was stuck there, I wanted something else in my head. And I thought to myself, it's Easter week. Why not put in some Easter songs? And so I looked through my collection of music and iTunes, and I found a wonderful song. Can I just share these words with you? Go ahead, drive the nails in my hand. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, because I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mock my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one because I'll rise again. I remember when Dallas Holmes sang that song, what a blessing it was to me. And I want it to be a blessing to you today on Easter Sunday, because I want to remind you that first and foremost, if Easter is about anything, it's about the fact that Jesus Christ rose and shone as a result of conquering not only hell, not only sin, but death itself. But you know what? Because Jesus rose and shone, rise and shine applies to us today as his followers. Rise and shine also applies to all who follow Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus who promised us this. How many of you remember what happened in John chapter 11? In that story where Jesus arrives at Mary and Martha's house to find that Lazarus has been dead for a number of days, and they're in mourning. And then he makes this powerful statement to Mary. He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, and even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And to prove his authority to make such a bold proclamation, he then proceeded to call forth Lazarus from the grave. And I remind you that Jesus' own death on the cross on Friday, the disciples, as a result of that, they were mourning. They were shocked, they were hurting, they were scared, they were worried about their future. In short, they were defeated. But then came Sunday morning. After Good Friday came Easter. After the death of Jesus came the resurrection of Jesus. And from that moment on, from the time they laid their eyes on their risen Lord and Savior, the disciples underwent a radical transformation. Their whole perspective changed. They went from mourning to rejoicing, from worrying to having confidence, from cowering in fear to possessing a holy boldness that the Bible says turned the world upside down. That is to say that the disciples themselves, because Jesus rose and shone, the disciples themselves rose up and let their light shine before the world. Did they still face their trials and tribulations? Yes. Did they still have problems? Yes. But they faced them with assurance. And the reason they did this is because their Savior was alive, and they knew they could face whatever came their way. And that's why there's one other song I've been singing all week in my heart, and I would share it again with you, these wonderful words from Bill Gaither. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, but an empty grave is there to prove that my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave and now shines before all men, I too can rise up in the power and strength he gives me and face whatever comes my way. I too can let my light shine for all the world to see. I hope, my friends, that you understand the power that Jesus Christ can give you as the resurrected Lord and Savior to change your life forever. Because Paul tells us that Jesus was the first fruits of all who will be resurrected. And I believe with all my heart what he said to Mary about Lazarus, that one day, even though I may end this life in death, there will come a day when I will be raised from the grave and I will be alive forevermore. And I want you to have that. I want you to have that. So I leave you with this question. The same question that Jesus asked Mary outside Lazarus' tomb after he affirmed that all who believed in him would be risen from the dead and live forever. He asked her, he said, do you believe this? And so that's my question to you today. Do you believe that? Because listen to what the Bible says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Rise and shine. What two better words for Easter? Did anyone see in the news this week what they discovered down in Egypt? It was the most amazing thing. They had dug up a coffin about 150 years ago, and they'd had this thing sometimes in storage and sometimes on display, but they'd had this coffin for 150 years, and finally somebody got the idea, why don't we open this thing up? And when they opened it up, they were dumbfounded to discover it had a mummy in it. Here was this coffin that everybody thought was empty, and lo and behold, to their utter amazement, it had somebody in it. The scientific world is utterly amazed that they had missed that. Well, let me tell you something even more wonderful. That 2,000 years ago, in a tomb outside Jerusalem, everybody thought that there was a body in that tomb. But then, when they went on Easter Sunday morning to that tomb, lo and behold, they discovered that the tomb was empty. There was nobody in that tomb. Why? Because Jesus Christ had risen from the grave. Jesus Christ would now shine forth for all eternity, victorious in his death, victorious over death and sin and hell. And because Jesus was victorious, because he lives, you and I can live as well. That, my friends, is worth celebrating this Easter Sunday. Rise and shine. Speaking of that, would you rise now as Pastor Scott leads us in a wonderful song together?
Happy Easter, church. What we celebrate today makes all the difference in the other days are worth living. Amen. Who we celebrate today changes everything in our tomorrows. Take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. We're going to share about 8 verses. On the first day of the week, that's why we celebrate on Sunday. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Pray with me. Father, what a day that made all the difference for the rest of our lives. So Lord, today, this is not our day, this is your day. May we celebrate the wonderful, matchless Lord Jesus Christ in our life. This service is not our service, it's your service. This time is not our time, but your time. Speak to us, O Lord, from your holy book. Give us instructions for what you want us to do and help us to be willing to listen and do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Easter. Most every person that's gathered here realizes what Easter is all about. And yet, just like the women that entered the tomb that day, there are still people that know the power of the resurrection, and they still do not believe. You've got to ask yourselves a question. Then why do people make so much about the resurrection? I want to give you a few statements to help you. You cannot have faith in God without believing in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no message. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Without the resurrection, There's no need for First Baptist Church. Without the resurrection, Christianity does not exist. Without the resurrection, you've got no hope for eternal life. So is the resurrection important? It's the foundation. It's what it's all about. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you do not have faith in the Son of God. Because the resurrection is the power in whom he believed. So the angel said to these women, quickly, go and tell my disciples. And the Bible says, and they quickly ran from the tomb, heading to where the disciples were, which also tells us the disciples wasn't there. I saw a sticker the other day that said, if the women hadn't told the preachers wouldn't know the resurrection took place. Well, I'm not sure that's actually true. But what they were saying, I guess, it all started after resurrection with women. But I'm glad the women at least went to the tomb. Amen. And then when you flip back to Matthew chapter 28, two verses, verses 9 and 10, it says suddenly this. Now, you remember, the women went to the tomb. You got to understand something. They didn't go there for a resurrection. They went there with spices to prepare the body, hoping, as Mark 16 says, that somebody would show up in the garden and roll the stone back so they could go in and prepare the spices on the body of Jesus. But when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. They was not expecting a resurrection. They was expecting a body. They did not find the body. Now they're on the way to tell the disciples what had happened. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9 and 10. Suddenly, man, can you imagine this meeting? Suddenly, Jesus met them, and he said, greetings. He said, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. You think he read their minds? Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, folks, up to this point, they had left the tomb. They had seen the angels outside and inside. And now all of a sudden, they had heard Jesus was alive. Now they have seen Jesus is alive. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to be standing there, and there stands Jesus. And the Bible says they bowed down and they worshiped him. They grasped his feet, so he was not a figment of their imagination. He was real. Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus not only is alive, Jesus is real. He is somebody you can only put your faith and trust in. You can dedicate your life to him and he'll never fail you. That is our risen Lord. And so he was not a figment. He was real. He was risen. The Bible says their joy turned to worship. I'm going to tell you something. When you really meet Jesus, your joy of your salvation will quickly turn to worship. Now, we read the miracles of his birth at Christmas. And they are so real. That's a wonderful time of year. But in Scripture, we also not only read the power of his birth, we read so many ways the power of his miracles throughout Scripture. When I think about he can speak to the sea and say, be calm. He can tell the sun to stand still and it stays there. He can speak to the water, separate and let my people go through on dry ground, and it happens. Yes, he can tell the money changers to to get out of the temple, and he threw him out of the temple. And we see this as part of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But most notably, his power was manifested at the very moment of his resurrection, when he burst the bonds of death and he came out of that grave. Death could not hold him down, and he took the end of death, hell, sin, Satan, and the grave. That was the power of the resurrection. That's the power of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is the power we put our faith and trust in. I'm reminded when I read about the resurrection. I read about Good Friday. What a bad day it was, because on that day, I realized he experienced a crown of thorns that should have been mine and yours, but it became his, and it was placed upon him. His hands was pierced for my sake and for yours. The cross was an old, rugged cross. You got to remember who made the wood, and you got to realize a pierced side that he took for you and I. He was thirsty and forsaken. What a Friday. What a horrible day. But when I think all this hanging on the cross on Friday, he was staring at Sunday. You see, that's the power of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Saying not just Friday and all the pain that he was going through. You see, realize on Sunday he was going to come out of that grave. They couldn't hold him down. And all of a sudden, and I got thinking about this, on that Sunday, he looked down the portals of time and he saw your face and my face. And he said, I'm doing this for them so that one day they can come to me. This pilgrimage is for them so they can be united with me. Oh, when I think about this world that we live in. The world has learned many great truths. We have learned many dramatic, life-changing experiences. Just turn on the news any day and probably turn it back off again. We have seen many historic-making events. We've heard many important, life-changing stories on television. But I want you to know this world has had nothing that would come up to the climax and the note when the world heard that the grave could not hold Jesus down. That all of a sudden, Jesus, whom we crucified, is alive. Nothing can come back from that. Jesus Christ was and is raised from the dead, and he's alive forevermore. His resurrection is something else. Not only did he rise from the grave, but his resurrection guaranteed your resurrection. You see, in 2 Corinthians 4:14, the scripture says this, he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also. Man, we have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it so many times in funerals, the best is yet to come. The grave could not hold him down, and if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, the grave can't hold you down neither. Amen. What a day in the life of Jesus makes in your life and in my life. Early this morning, Pastor Jack referred to a song, Rise and Shine and Give God the Glory. I heard that a long time too. And I got thinking as I was listening to it, and I thought about another song that came to my heart that I love a lot. And here it is. I've been changed. I've been newborn. My life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh, yes, I've been changed. My friend, when Jesus comes into your life, you cannot stay the same. If you stay the same, you better check it out because something is wrong. When Christ comes into your life, he changes everything. The power of the resurrection Lord Jesus Christ has a power that cannot contain in just this small group. He's bigger than any of us. He will do what nobody else can do. He changes your direction. He changes your thought life. He changes your directions in life. He gives you what you need to do for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've often thought about it this way. If the resurrection did not happen, nothing matters. If the resurrection did happen, and it did, then nothing else matters. You see, we too can experience the power of the resurrection. We need to believe in the risen Christ. Pastor Jack asked the question. He said, "Do you believe?" That question deserves an answer. That question, he didn't say, "Have you heard about Jesus?" That isn't what he said. He said, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the power of his resurrection?" There's a difference in knowing about Jesus and having Jesus. There's a difference about going to church and worshiping in church. We sometimes settle for the lesser instead of the most important. We want to give God some of our lives and not all of our lives. That is what he asked for. When he died on the cross, he didn't halfway die. He died all the way. He gave everything he had so that you could know him, and know him is to know life eternal. In this audience today, there's probably a lot of people. You've been here many times. I sat at home late last night and early this morning, and I thought about this. What would he expect out of you? I have no idea. I have a hard enough job knowing what he expects out of Dick the Merchant. And I'll tell you what, I have a hard job to live up to what he expects. But I know he who is in me is greater than he who lives in the world. Amen. And so therefore you dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have been coming to church here for a long time, months. And they sit and absorb Jack's teaching. Scott's powerful music program. They soak it in and walk out the door. At the same time, the Bible expects something of them. See, a church is a family. A family where we gather together. Why in the world do you ever join a church anyway? Because we're expected to participate in the fellowship of believers. A family does things together. A family not only worships together, the family works together. It helps each other out. Ask you a question, the most important question today: do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't, please don't walk out of these doors not knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He wants to know you. He wants to love you. He gave his life for you. He wants you to give your life back to him in love. That's what he's asking. There may be others here saying, "I've been coming a while. I've been sitting in the pew. It's time for me to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe God's spoken to your heart. We want people that have prayed about it and say, "This is God's church for us. We're led to come here." In a few moments, Scott's going to come, and we're going to close with an invitation. You're saying, "It's not 11:30 yet. I'm not Jack Jackson. I close when I'm through." Erase that from the tape. Folks, all I'm asking you to do on Easter sunrise is this. What a day this day is. What a day when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody gave you his everything, wouldn't you want to show, "Why did he do that for me?" Because he loved you. And he's all he's asking is for your love in return. That's all he's asking. That's not asking too much. But I'll tell you this. How you answer that question not only makes a difference in the rest of your life here, it makes a difference in where you spend your destiny in the future. It is an important question that Jack asked. Do you know him? Have you accepted him? Not only does your life here hinge on that answer, that question, but there is a thing called eternity. And you will. I know it's not maybe the political gender or whatever. I'm going to tell you what, there is a hell. And there is a heaven. And what separates the two is what you do with Jesus. You got to know him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Pretty plain, isn't it? If you want to go to your heaven, there's only one way. That's not the Baptist or the Methodist way or the Presbyterian way. It's the way of the cross leads home. That's the way it is. You've got to know Jesus. Is the resurrection important? Most important thing in the world. He gave it all for you. Shall we pray? Father, we love you today. We need you today. We need you in the center part of our lives. Father, if there's anybody here that has never said yes to Jesus Christ, my prayer today is that they will, in their hearts right now, pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm lost. And I want you, dear Lord Jesus, to come into my heart right now and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. When this life is over, whenever it comes, I want to go to heaven and spend eternity with you. Maybe there's others today, Lord, you're speaking to about other decisions. Maybe there's people here that have been saved and they've never been baptized. And they may have issues about baptism. Help them to not focus on the narrowness, but on the brevity, and realize that, Father, you gave everything for them. Father, could they not be obedient to you and follow you in believer's baptism? Maybe there's others here, Lord, that have been sitting in the pew and they said, now it's time to get up from there. It's time to make the move. It's time to join hands with these people. Born again believers in Jesus Christ. Start on a journey as a family together. We're not here just to receive. We're here to be a part of. So, Lord, help us today to honor you and how you speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?